apocalypse.
Hi, hey, hello. A very good time zone to you, dear listener, wherever you might be enjoying this podcast from. It's your Academy Age storyteller, Will, here, closing out our interlude story, Fallen Stars, which has been using the Fist system from Claymore RPGs. For more information on Fist, you can check them out in the show notes. But suffice it to say, we had a blast playing this game, and I'm confident you will too. We'll be back with your regularly scheduled Academy Age content next week, both a new episode of the podcast, and we'll also be recording two new sessions live over at twitch.tv/livefromtheapocalypse at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're still in the middle of recording our extra-large Season 2 premiere arc with a special guest, and that has been going places I literally never expected it to. So if you're curious, we'd love to see you in chat. That's also where we do the majority of our fundraising. We are still raising money for Doctors Without Borders and the important work that they're doing in Gaza. So if you have the means and the inclination, it's also a great time to donate. And if streams aren't your thing or you can't join us, there's also a link to the charity campaign in the show notes. It's always bittersweet when an interlude like this comes to an end. We've all grown so attached to these characters, as I'm sure you have, and it's hard to say goodbye to them. But you can take it from me, as the person running this game, this isn't the last we're going to see of any of these characters. So I hope that puts you at ease and lets you enjoy listening to the finale of Fallen Stars. Here it is, part 5. Enjoy. At that moment, he coughs and blood comes out of his mouth and starts to dribble down his chin. And he looks down and he sees where your sword has also impaled him.
And as Danny feels his skin fall apart and blood leak out of him, the aura comes off of his sword, revealing a katana made entirely of bone. He smiles and goes, "You know what? Let's just call this a draw." The sword disappears in a flash of magenta light back to where it'll be waiting for the next seed to take it. In a flourish of magenta light, Seed's corpse will blow away and disappear into the woods.
And in that clearing of inexplicable bamboo on this tropical island, Sinner falls to his knees, bleeding from a wound, and then pitches forward onto the ground and lays still. So, Jamie, I will give you a choice here. We have, maybe about 45 minutes or so left in our recording session, depending. The Fist rules are explicitly set up so that you can make a character very quickly, and they can basically, be airdropped in at a climactic moment if you want to make another character to get airdropped into this scenario. Within the next couple of minutes, you can, but you by no means have to.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
That's fair.
I'm going to watch. I'm going to stay. No, I'm not leaving, but I don't want to ruin the moment.
Fantastic. Wow. Let's cut back to our friend Watcher and our other friend Asher. Currently flying through the sky. And I'm going to need you to make another reflexive roll because you are still being shot at. Yeah, what'd you get?
That's a 4.
Do you have a war die?
I do not.
Okay, cool. Does anybody have a war die? Let's just get this out of the way.
Me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I also have a war die.
Wow, cool, awesome. So good. You're going to hear a loud voice yell, reverberating around the island, and it sounds distant. It still reaches your ears, and it's going to say,
"You can run, but I've brought down bigger birds than you."
You hear another sharp retort of the rifle, and you are going to take only 3 points of damage. But as that happens, that was a full failure.
Yes, it was.
Which means that as that happens, your charge that you are carrying, who up until now has basically been completely relaxed and limp in your arms, you're going to hear Asher say, "What the fuck? What is happening?
Asher,
did you just get shot?
It's fine.
Did you just get shot?
Yes, but it's fine.
No, I can't be here. Oh, Put me down.
Asher.
Put me down.
We're almost at the boat.
He's going to say, put me down, and he's going to swing at you. Just like flailing, like not actually consciously trying to hit you, but he is full on panicking.
So before that happens, Will, I realize there's something. I need to roll another reflexive because I just took damage while flying. So we're going to have to see if I just fall or crash into something. It's
yeah,
fine.
You're gonna need to do that. It's fine.
That is an 11. So that does not happen.
but you are maybe going to get hurt. We'll see. The bullet hits you. You managed to stay in the air. I imagine you drop a little bit, but you regain the altitude and you're able to get back up in the air. What I'm going to say is Asher, who is just flailing around wildly, is accidentally going to hit you in the face. You're only going to take 1 point of damage, but because you are still taking damage while flying, I do need you to make another reflexive roll.
Cool.
Oh no.
What'd you get?
That's a 4.
Amazing.
Well, you're putting him down.
You are. So with a 4, you get hit in the face. You don't go unconscious, but it is disorienting. It's shockingly hard. You get your bell rung and it messes up your equilibrium. And you're still trying to fly, but you're kind of like listing left and right. You're hearing more bullets being fired after you. So honestly, the fact that you're kind of just fluttering back and forth like this makes you a harder target to hit. Are you holding on to Asher?
Yes, I'm not going to drop him.
All right, then you're both going to go down together. You are going to hit the tree line and then drop a little bit to the ground. And I think you're going to take a little bit of damage from that, but we'll see. Only 2. How are you doing on hit points?
I'm doing, it's fine. Okay. Everything's <All right>. Cool. Fine.
Great. You hit the ground, falling through the trees. Both of you land hard on the ground and just kind of lay there. The breath is knocked out of your lungs. You're just lying there gasping. But you do hear the bullets stop. Back in the clearing with the Sorrows and Ossuary, what do you want to do?
Unhinge my jaw and perform plan F. Pour spiders out of my mouth so that I can kind of overrun them. I'm trying to poison them still.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing about it says that the poison stops. It's just that it's passed through my contact. So I'm just going to overrun them to try to kill them again. Because my plan... The Sorrows is pretty sure that if you kill the body, the little monkeys will fuck off. So,
ancient proverb. Kill the body, the monkeys fuck off.
They're not going to like it. They're going to be like, ooh.
It's wisdom. Yeah, okay. I'm going to say that this is forceful, not reflexive.
6 and a 5. That's an 11.
Wow. All right, cool. So you unhinge your jaw and you pour out enough spiders that they are able to cover the entirety of this horrific giant lion man / fruit monster's body. Is this all of your spiders? Is a question that I am curious of. Does your normal body kind of fall there?
I think yes, but not in the sense that this has to be, but more in the sense that they're like, they're gonna give this body up anyway, so they don't bother to keep any in there to hold it there.
And because these are alien spiders, the poison is not coming from them biting, the poison is coming from them burrowing into the flesh of this creature, right?
Yeah, it's contact.
Just making sure that they're not just like spider biting, because you've described this before, and it's far worse than that. Great. You're just smiling.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm just going to smile at you. Okay. Do you want me to roll my poison damage?
Yeah, I guess. Also, what are you making? It can't do something, right? That's the other half of it.
The hex is over.
Oh, right. That's from hex, not from poison.
This is just from my poison, right? From my other trait.
Right. Okay, cool. Roll your poison damage. Did you just roll 4d6? How much is your poison damage?
No, it's 2d6.
Oh, okay.
But that's 12.
Did you get boxcars?
Yeah, I got 2 sixes.
God. Incredible. Okay, all right. So, the sp- spiders spread out over this thing's body and they sink into the flesh below. You see these big lion man arms that they have these like grape pustules bulging out of them in different locations. He's reaching and he's trying to like grab these spiders off or like squash them wherever he can. The monkeys are kind of leaping in and trying to pull as many of the spiders off as they can, also like crush them. And none of it is appearing to be particularly effective. They're definitely taking some of the spiders out, but there are so many of them at this point that it's just not enough. And slowly as he's struggling, he drops to his knees. Then his movements start to slow and become more sluggish. He falls forward and the light goes out of his eyes. He starts to shrink. And as he does so, the different fruit elements start to like turn rotten and shrivel up as if they've been in the sun for too long. And eventually there is just this very small man, these very thick glasses, lying there surrounded in a pool of rancid fruit juice, dead.
Cool. I'm going to eat his brain while I'm in here.
So he's not going to be a wet fruit man anymore. He's going to be a wet fruit man that is full of spiders. Much improved.
Are you taking his body?
For now. My plan is, thematically, so I'm going to crawl in to this body for now. I'm going to wrench the head off of my old body. And then I'm going to, you know, meander around in the woods for a while until I find someone I would rather inhabit. Maybe if I stumble upon a sinner, I'll crawl in there instead. Bring back two heads. But for now, the goal was to no longer be in this body that people are looking for. So Os will see all that happen. I will stand up, get used to being short, be a little disappointed. I think whenever the Sorrows changes bodies, the voice for a moment sounds more like Legion. And so it sounds kind of echoey to Os as the old man turns now to look at them and says,
I was hoping it would be someone taller. I miss being tall.
Well, anyway, now that I helped you move in, seems like you got this. I'm gonna go do my thing.
Okay.
And I'm gonna pick up my ritual dagger and use it to help separate my head, and then I will swallow the dagger again when I'm done. And then I'm gonna go through the woods, mind my own business for a little while.
Do you retrieve the Rubik's Cube?
I'm thinking maybe not, because the Sorrows has, like, some understanding about what desecration is.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd rather not do that.
Yeah, I mean, also, they were getting way too good at it. Like, at a certain point, it's not really enrichment anymore. You know, it's just muscle memory.
So, they will leave the Rubik's Cube there. They will take off the head, swallow the dagger. Basically, they're gonna not announce that they've successfully gotten the head off. They're gonna let the other people still continue to hunt, because to the Sorrows, that still gives Ossuary time to go infiltrate, and that still gives the others time to get away. So I'm going to meander through the woods in my fun little disguise.
Amazing. And Ossuary, where are you going?
So at this point, Oss is going to try to slither through the underbrush, at least to get close to the building. And at that point is going to put on the Lotus Group jacket that Seed gave him, and then is going to sort of go with the suggestion Seed gave, trying to kind of contort his face to make it a bit different. He's never really tried that before. Doesn't know exactly how far he can push it. He's going to see what he can do to contort his face. And also is going to also find like a sharp rock and is going to try and give himself, I might take a point of damage from this, but going to try to gash himself across the forehead just to add some blood on there to help obscure it even more, and is going to be attempting to play the part of someone who got caught in the explosion.
I like that. I need you to roll with creative.
That is an 11.
Amazing. Okay, cool. So yeah, you can do all of that. You can rearrange your features and look like somebody else. You can even give yourself the gash, take a point of damage from it.
Cool.
And you put on the jacket that is a little torn up and slashed, and you are able to stumble your way back to the facility. But I think as you get close, like as you are entering, somebody's going to bump into you. You're actually going to find yourself face to face with Bushwhacker.
Sorry, what happened?
And he's like barely paying attention to you. He has a big ass sniper rifle slung over one shoulder. And he has a pair of giant knives, basically machetes, strapped to either hip through like a harness belt kind of thing. And he barely gives you a second glance before he goes to push past you and says, "Nah, I don't have time for this."
All right, well, he's going to let him go because I'm trying to infiltrate, so.
Yeah, you are able to like push past him and re-enter the facility. He does not clock you for who you actually are, but he looks like he is heading out into the underbrush on foot.
Right. Well, I'm going to be kind of stumbling my way. But kind of stumbling with intent towards the room that we passed that has the mainframes in it.
Absolutely. And there is a lot of chaos inside, so that is not terribly hard for you to do. There are plenty of people that are kind of milling around, people who look pretty much just like you in the sense that they have been lightly to moderately injured by the explosion, and their clothes are dusty and cut up. It looks like a lot of the supervillains who are standing around have either moved on to begin the manhunt across the island or are elsewhere at this moment. And you are trying to get up to the observation deck, to the server room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. You climb the stairs and you enter the room, and right as you do that, you see that you are not alone in here. And as a matter of fact, standing by one of the consoles, back to it, is Tyrant. He has his jacket off. He's just wearing like a vest, a button-down shirt underneath it. And he has a phone in his hands. He has very large hands. The phone almost looks a little silly as he's holding it and kind of like typing on it or swiping on it. You're not really sure. He sort of sighs to himself, like runs a hand through his hair before he looks up and sees you.
This is an authorized person only area.
He gives you an almost sympathetic look. You must have taken quite the hit to your head.
Maybe I need to check in. And I'm going to kind of try to stumble past him and just get onto a chair, start messing with a screen. He doesn't know how to log in, but he's going to probably lock himself out in the process. But it's like I need to check in.
I need you to make a couple rolls here. The first one is going to be creative.
It's going to be a 7.
First one is a 7. You get the impression, as you are sitting down and working on the computer, he is watching you. He's watching what you're doing. You don't know that he is necessarily suspicious, but he is definitely keeping an eye on you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you reach the security page to sign in to the system. You can see that he is studying you and waiting to see you put in your credentials. You can roll tactical to try to bypass this in some way that is not suspicious.
I was actually planning on actually just deliberately botching it by just being like, I can't, and just repeatedly enter some passwords.
Interesting. You're going to get a complication, which is he will lean down and he will tap something that is set into the side of the monitor. He'll just say, retinal scanner.
So, he's got a, and so he's going to kind of make a show of trying to like wipe blood out of his eyes. Shit, I should go get cleaned up.
If you try to stand up, he's going to put a hand on your shoulder and he's just going to look at you, very blank expression, and tap the scanner again.
So what Oz is going to do in this situation, he is going to kind of let Tyrant nudge him down towards the scanner. While he is doing that, one hand is coming up here to sort of open up his eye. The other hand is going down to tap his henshin. And as he is going down in front of the scanner, he is also going to be, while he is stretching his eye open, is going to just go ahead and just start getting ready to just rip this sucker off.
Okay. Amazing. You don't have to roll anything to activate your henshin, right?
Nope, I just activate it. I can only do it once per session, but I can just activate it.
This is probably a good time to do it. As good a time as any.
At this point, I get plus 1d6 health and 3 armor.
Okay. Amazing.
A lot of armor.
It's a lot of armor.
So plus 5 health and 3 armor. 8 health total plus 3 armor.
Get it.
So then, yeah, you start to transform. So you, well, you can describe it. What does Tyrant see?
I think so. Tyrant sees, he pushes this guy down towards the scanner, and he's kind of reaching up and is pulling, you know, his eye open for the scanner, and it scans him, and surprising no one, it comes up as negative. But as that message is coming up, the hand that is on his eye literally just starts pulling his face off. He is like stretching his, basically like pulling his skull out through his eye socket, just stepping fully out of his skin. It's going to get messed up in the process. Definitely going to need more than a dry cleaning afterward. But basically, as he is swelling up into this sort of armored bone golem, suddenly Tyrant has his hand on the shoulder of a Dark Souls boss.
And if I recall, you, as part of that, you also have a bone club that comes from some part of your body.
It's true. Yes, I spontaneously generate a D6 bone club.
Amazing. So he sees that, and he is going to let go of your shoulder. He's going to take a step back away from you. There's some surprise on his face, but not concern.
Mm-hmm.
Not by a long shot. And he's going to say, shame.
Yeah, I thought it was a good bit.
He's going to start to unbutton his cuffs and like roll the sleeves up over these like massive forearms. As he does, he's going to say, had a really rough couple of days.
You're telling me. As Osprey proceeds to just like pop like all of the joints that he possesses, which are many.
I cannot say how much I want. Brendan, I hope you win, but it would be top notch if Tyrant beats the shit out of another one of your characters.
I know. That's the thing. Here's the thing. Os doesn't really have a choice, and Os knows who Tyrant is. But at the same time, neither I nor Os really have much of a choice in this situation. I am not going to win this fight, I do not think. But Os does not really feel like he's got another option here. He attempted subterfuge. It did not work. Best he can do in this situation is maybe physically fuck up the mainframe while he is fighting Tyrant.
That's extremely fair. And so what are you doing?
I am going to... Actually, you know what? First things first, Os is actually going to do what he came here to do. He is going to basically pick up a big bone foot, and he is just going to straight up sidekick one of the mainframes. If he can puncture it, if he can crush the insides, if he can just kick the whole tower just off of the observation deck and into the burning rubble of the atrium, that's ideal.
Roll with forceful, and we'll see how much damage you are actually able to do with this.
I am technically at -2 forceful in this form, but let's give it a whirl. Okay, that is still a... Nope, that's a 6. No.
You have a war die.
I do have a war die. You know, this is technically what I came here to do. I will use my war die. And okay, that actually brings it up to an 11.
So there is a bank of server towers in this observation deck, and you can kick them hard enough in your bone form that you basically send them, like, one crashes into one, and then they all kind of just go, like, out the window.
They're all kind of, like, screwed together for, like, safety, right? And, yeah, no, but they all just kind of just tip over the edge. Oh, fuck, I'm so clumsy.
So you do that. Tyrant cannot prevent you from doing it in time, but he is going to say, that's going to make my new partners very upset.
I have that effect on people.
I need to know what you are going to do next before I figure out what Tyrant's going to do.
Well, at this point, I fucked up the mainframe, and he did that assuming that he's probably opening himself up to an attack from Tyrant, leaving himself wide open. If Tyrant is not going to seize that initiative, at this point, Os is going to go on the offensive.
So he is, but this is powered by the apocalypse, which means that because you succeeded so well on your roll, he doesn't get to do anything.
I see. Gotcha.
So based on what you roll next, we're going to figure out what he gets to do.
His attempt to fuck up the mainframe actually worked a bit better even than he intended. That seems good. I'm going to call that good. And then is going to do his best to move in on Tyrant. He's going to actually be twirling his bone club, but his intention actually is to basically feint with the bone club, keep his attention focused on the weapon so that he can come in with a surprise left.
I'll let you do creative or reflexive because you are fighting intelligently.
Okay, my reflexive does not actually go down in my form, so let me roll reflexive. And that's good, because I rolled a natural 6 and got a +1 to a 7.
You move towards Tyrant, and he is kind of like on the balls of his feet. He almost moves like a boxer or somebody who is used to fighting, like hand-to-hand. Not something you'd expect from the world's most dangerous supervillain. But he is like kind of on the balls of his feet, trying to read your attack. And maybe because your expression is an inscrutable skeleton countenance, you are successfully able to feint him. And so you feint him to one side, he goes for it, and then you swing your club from the other, and you clock him across the face. And you can roll your damage.
D6. 3.
Okay. Takes 3 damage. You hit him in the face. You can tell that there's going to be a bruise there. And he is going to actually, like, pick himself back up, rub his jaw, spit out a little bit of blood, and then he's going to look at you. And he's going to hold out 2 fingers and then point them to the ground. And he's going to say, "Kneel." But when he says that, his words are infused with 1,000 voices screaming in agony. They carry a weight behind them, and you are powerless to resist. You get down on your knees, you kneel in front of him, and he is going to stand over you. He's going to say, "It's been a long time since somebody actually struck me. I don't know if you can feel pain, but I'm going to do my best to make this hurt." And then he will raise 1 foot in a very expensive Italian shoe and bring it down on your head once, and raise it, bring it down a second time. And on the third time, we will cut away with a sickening crack. You hit him, but Ossuary was never going to beat Tyrant.
Are we just going to call that fight over, or can I get another hit in?
I think we're going to call that fight over.
Okay. I was just going to say, he did tell me to kneel. He didn't tell me to stop moving or stop attacking him.
The mandate that a tyrant uses, technicalities are not a thing. That's what makes him so dangerous.
Stupid. Dumb.
Brendan, Ossuary is technically immortal, right?
Yeah, technically, yes. The kind of sort of double immortal for the Henshin and then also for Skeleton. Basically, I can be put back together again.
You can be given to me as my other character.
Tyrant sends you in a fucking
Tyrant
box.
Sends me a box of bones.
So, the thing that I will say about this, basically, because this is Tyrant, Tyrant is such a huge threat, I was waiting for you to mess up a roll.
Yeah, yeah.
And once you did that, it was going to be over regardless.
But I got a clean hit, and I'm not mad about it.
You actually did. So, yeah, you are going to die, essentially, but your remains are going to be probably in the hands of the Lotus Group.
So you might get rebuilt.
You might. You might get rebuilt. Yeah. Might come back better than before. Who knows?
Back where you started, technically.
I was picturing maybe Tyrant would insist on keeping my shards in his house as a trophy, since I done did him a punch, where his Bone Mancer son can find me.
Exactly, exactly. So we're going to cut away from that back out to the jungle, where, Watcher, you are just starting to catch your breath again. And Asher is like stumbling to his feet around the same time that you're able to sit up and say anything. And he's going to point at you. He's going to say, "Don't fucking touch me. I'm not going back up there. I'm not getting shot. I'm not fucking flying."
Okay. We don't have much time to talk about this, Asher, but look, I was told to get you to the boat and to get you to safety. Is that still what you want?
Roll with creative.
It's a 6.
Here's a random question. Watcher doesn't have a weapon on him, right?
No.
Great. Asher is gonna take a step back away from you, still kind of got his hands up, and he's gonna say, "It won't matter. You can't get away. I can't get away. They'll find me. They're everywhere."
Does that mean you're going to go back to them?
What choice do I have? They'll kill me. And I've seen me die before.
Then I think you should go back to them. I'm not going to stop you.
you see confusion go across his face, like he is trying to figure out what the trap is here. And he takes a few steps back away from you, back towards the trees, and then is going to turn and bolt, basically. He'll give one last look over his shoulder to you standing there just to make sure that you're not, like, following him or pulling out a weapon or something like that, but then he is going to run away from you.
Watcher doesn't stop him.
What does Watcher do?
They were told to get off the island. That was their final order from Seed. And so, as much as they want to go back to try and find the others, they're going to follow their orders and continue to make their way towards the boat.
On foot or in the air?
In the air.
Roll with reflexive.
That is an 11.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, cool. You take to the sky, and as you do that, you hear a gun go off as you're rising into the air. The bullet misses you. You manage to, like, pull to the side. You look down, and you see Bushwhacker standing on the edge of the trees. And in one hand, he has that very fancy, giant-looking rifle, which he just shot at you one-handed. Because the other one has a knife, and his arm is around Asher's neck, and he has the blade pressed against his throat. And he'll call out to you, and he'll say, "You're some kind of hero, right?"
Watcher does not immediately respond. They effectively hover in the air, staring down at him, staring down at Asher. But they do not say anything in response.
I've killed a lot of things. Never killed an angel before.
Watcher nods at Asher and asks, "And what is he to you, Collateral?"
"I don't want to kill the boy. I think he's valuable. But I don't really give a fuck about what's going on this island. And I'm willing to gamble that you won't fly away if it means he dies."
"You might want to reconsider killing me. I do not think that is going to end well for anyone, especially you."
Asher, his eyes are wide. He is looking at you. He has this sort of, like, his expression is pleading at first, and then the longer it goes without you doing something, the more there's just this expression of, like, acceptance on his face. Like, he realizes that he's gonna die. Bushwhacker, he chuckles slightly at that and says, "Do you really think it's wise to be making threats right now, considering the circumstances?"
Watcher is going to lower themselves back to the ground, still standing at a distance, and say, "I was not making a threat. I was making a promise. I don't know exactly what is going to happen when I die, but I do not think it is going to be good for anyone if that happens now."
He's going to bring the rifle down off of one shoulder, kind of brace it against the same shoulder, and point the barrel at you and say, "Well, why don't we find out before he pulls the trigger?" Julia, What would the sorrows in Sinner's body do?
If I came across this?
Yes.
Well, I guess that depends. Like, as I'm in here, can I access the puffing or no?
That is an interesting question. In this case, this is a part of his biology. This is a part of his physiology. So I will say yes. I will say that if you want to try, you can.
I will keep it in my back pocket. What the Sorrows is going to do is walk out into the clearing in Sinner's body. In one hand, they've got the head of the previous body of the Sorrows. and they've got the head of the scary man, because once they've switched bodies, they took that with them. And I think they've had time to acclimate. So I think in Sinner's voice, they're going to say very sharply, and see what happens first, why do you have Kingside's guest?
Roll with creative.
Pray for me, friend.
You still have a war die. I do.
I think I'm going to use it, because otherwise that's a 5. That's a 6. That's not 11. So, yeah, 5 and a 6. It's 11. So there goes my war die, but that's what I said.
Amazingly clutch.
So what they all see is Sinner. I don't think I buttoned the coat. I put the coat back on, but I'm like still... It's the whole freaky business is exposed. I come in swinging the two heads and I say that.
Bushwhacker is going to immediately let Asher go. Like, he's going to move the knife off of his throat. He's going to raise the rifle into the air, take a step back away from you, and he's going to say, Sinner, I didn't know you. Look, I was just bluffing. I wasn't going to hurt him.
Right. Bluffing. And I think I'm going to come and like cuff Asher on the back of the neck, like, and kind of give him like a little shake.
He looks terrified. He's not saying anything. His eyes are just darting all over the place between like Watcher and Bushwhacker. He can't look at you because your hand's on the back of his neck, but everywhere else. Look, you got two heads there. Why don't you just maybe give me one? You don't need a seat at the table. You've already got one. So why don't you, we could be friends, or you don't, there's no reason why you need two. And he will point at Watcher. There's no reason you need two.
You're right. I don't. But we feel like it would be more fair given this, and I shake Asher again, this little infraction. They get another couple minutes head start. And I will gesture at Watcher. You can make up that time.
His eyes are going to narrow at you. And he's going to say, why are you trying to fuck me?
Don't like your attitude.
You know, it's real dangerous out here. Anything could happen. And he's going to point the rifle at you.
Watcher is immediately going to leap into the air at that moment.
Okay. Roll reflexive.
That is an 8.
With an 8, you are going to leap into the air. You're going to take to the sky. But at that same moment that you do that, he like dropped the knife when he had it pressed against Asher's throat and Sinner walked in. He basically dropped the knife. It's kind of sticking out of the ground. And so you take to the air. He has the rifle pointed at Sinner. And as you take to the air, maybe instinctually, maybe on purpose, you don't know, he pulls a sidearm out from like a holster and is just going to like shoot from the hip real quick and try to hit you. You're going to take a little bit of damage from that, but not a huge amount. I don't know how many hit points you have. We're going to see how this goes. 2. And take 2 points of damage. Roll reflexive to keep flying.
That is a 9.
Enough bad shit has happened in this exchange. So Watcher, you are in the air. You are flying now. I'm going to say the bullet clips your wing, but you don't take any damage. Or you took the 2 damage. The bullet clips your wing. You're flying. You're not at full strength, but you are in the air. What is the Saros doing now that there is a big rifle pointed at them?
You're going to give up that easy?
I don't have a choice now. Going to take that head from you.
I was just going to interject from the ether that the Saros probably does remember in the atrium that Oss had dislocated one of his shoulders, which he presumably has relocated, but it's probably still fucked up.
Mm-hmm. It does appear to be working.
Just the idea of him being like, oh, my shoulder was over here the whole time. I missed it. I relocated.
Jesus Christ.
I found it.
I think what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to say, well, still holding on to Asher, I'm going to be like, there is no choice. And I'm going to drop the Sinner voice to use the previous sorrow voice, and I'm going to say to Asher,
when I let go, you're gonna stab him.
And then I am going to hex Bushwhacker.
Okay. Wow. So tense.
I was given a job. I'm going to get into this group.
Listen, I get it. You were going to hex. There is a role associated with that, correct?
It is not. You can place any being under a hex. I don't technically have to. If you want me to, I will.
It's not touch-based inherently, right? Like, hex, you don't need to use the knife. Okay, cool. All right. I will let it ride. I will say that you can hex him.
Here's the thing. I am now at the mercy of what Asher does.
Yep. I know. Trust me. I know.
I want to get into this club.
I know. What does it look like in this case? Because before you stuck the ritual knife in Scary Man, when you do it without that.
When I don't do it, it looks like it did on the boat, where it is just the spiders do it.
Cool.
Actually, the spider, how it happens is the spider I gave to Asher that he's probably forgotten about in his hysteria. So while this exchange is going on, it crawls down and like bites into his ankle and buries in, and that's how the hex casts. And then when I let go of Asher,
I will do you one better, which is that in this very tense moment that you're having here, the gun is pointed at you. You say that to Asher in your normal voice, and then we're gonna like flash back to when Bushwhacker first caught Asher and has him held with a knife pressed against his throat. And we will see from our perspective the spider crawl out from under Asher's shirt and onto Bushwhacker's body. Then we'll jump forward to now, when the spider that has been on Bushwhacker this whole time sinks its fangs into him. And you are both immobilized. As long as you don't move, he can't move. You see Bushwhacker's eyes start darting back and forth rapidly, like he's trying to do things. He's trying to move his body, he's trying to shoot his gun, do anything, but he can't. You see Asher stumble away from you in that moment that you let him go, and he looks between the two of you, and he looks at the machete sticking out of the ground. He takes a few steps towards it, and he pulls it out of the ground, and there is still a moment of hesitation as he looks back and forth between the two of you, like he's not sure what to do, like he's debating. He looks at you one last time, takes a step towards Bushwhacker, and shoves the machete into his stomach.
The Saros is loving it.
And he holds it there for a second. He has like one hand on Bushwhacker's shoulder, and there is terror on his face that gives way to this sort of calm acceptance as the life fades from Bushwhacker's eyes. When do you release the hex?
When it looks like he is going down, I think the Saros will let it go and kind of put their hand on Asher's shoulder and say, there's still time to get to the boat if you want to.
He's going to shrug your hand off, and he's going to say, I can't run. They'll find me. I have to stay.
Saros is going to nod, take the machete from him, go to cut off Bushwhacker's head, because three heads are better than two in this. They fully intend to, when they walk in there, they're going to use the Saros voice. That's their point of it, is like, you have to deal with me now. You have to take me as I am now. Look what I did. But I think as they're hacking off the head, they're going to say,
well, you can stay with me.
Which is as much of a hint to the fact that they are like undercover in this, that they are going to give Asher, and whether he picks it up or not, that's the only offering that they're going to get.
Asher watches you hack Bushwhacker's head off in the grass and says, I guess it wouldn't hurt to have an ally.
Biggest smile. With my eyes at the mid-sized cadaveric position, just the biggest smile the Saros can give.
We will leave that grisly and horrific scene behind. Where is Watcher?
Watcher is flying off of the island. They are not confident that they will be able to fly across the expanse, but they are going to try.
I think that is the last thing we see, is the setting sun across the ocean as we follow Watcher flying unsteadily into the sunset. If you'd like to keep up with us and what we're up to, you can follow us on Twitter at LiveFromTheApoc, Instagram and TikTok at LiveFromTheApocalypse, Blue Sky at LiveFromTheApocalypse.com, or join our Discord community, which will be linked in the description down below. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, feel free to give us a good rating and follow the show on your podcatcher of choice. Leave a review if you're so inclined, it really does help us out so much. The donation link to our current charity fundraising campaign can also be found in the description if you'd like to help us support worthy causes. Join us for the live recordings of Academy H every other Sunday, or any of our many other ongoing live-streamed campaigns that happen throughout the week over at twitch.tv/livefromtheapocalypse. For all this information and more, check out livefromtheapocalypse.com. As always, nothing we do would be possible without your support, and we appreciate you so, so much. Until next time. Academy H is edited by Will Malkus, with music and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Dark Fantasy Studios, and Krotos Sound. Character art by @OxyBellasDraws on Twitter and Instagram.
So many repercussions about to affect the main story.
So many Rammies, all the Rammies.
Oh, we call those the Rammies now, Jamie. That's the new thing.
Oh, is that a all of us thing? I thought that was just that game.
It's all of us.
I tuned into a random Secrets and Shadows stream that I was like, what are these Rammies everyone is talking about?
I forgot about the Rammies, bro.
It's the Rammies, man. It's the Rammies.
Oh, we did it. All right, cool.